Jalen Heward is one of the most famous quarterbacks in University of Washington history. After college, he played for 12 years in the NFL for the Kansas City Chiefs, New England Patriots, and Miami Dolphins. Heward won two Super Bowl rings with the Patriots in 2001 and 2003. While he was with the Miami Dolphins, he befriended Dan Marino, who owned a large and diverse wine collection. They talked about starting a winery together when they both retired. After Heward retired, he found the right winemaker, Chris Peterson, who was known for making big Washington Reds. Heward and Marino's wine is called Passing Time. Their first released vintage, a 2012 Cabernet, earned 94 points by Wine Advocate and 93 by Wine Spectator. Damon, welcome to this week's Wine Fellers. Damon, are you there?
I am here.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so one question we have for you is that...
we've got a lot of questions,
We have a lot of
Mark.
Questions for you. And okay. The most important question we like to ask all our guests, it's live radio, and I think people like to hear this. The answer to this question is that what got you... into wine in the first place, because everyone sort of has a story about that. Some people,
sure.
Their parents were into wine. Some people, they picked it up along the way. Some people had an epiphany moment. How was it for you?
Sure.
How did you get into first appreciating wine before you became into the wine biz?
Right. Well, you know, being honest, I had to move 3,000 miles from my home state of Washington to South Florida and to invade my teammate, the older, wisely veteran Dan Marino's wine cellar to learn about Washington wine.
Oh,
and,
wow.
This was in South Florida. It's really a cool story. Danny had a buddy who worked at Southern, a distributorship, and had kind of turned him on to some Washington State wines in the late 90s. This is kind of 97, 98, 99, right in that time frame. And kind of the Washington wines, price-to-score ratio, were kind of just coming onto the scene, and they were real exciting wines like Andrew Will and Cole Solari and Colcita Creek. And Danny had these in his cellar, and he'd be like, Damon, you ever had any of these wines? You know, they're from your home town, your own neck of the woods.
I'm awesome.
Like, no, I couldn't really afford them as a poor college kid, but they were good. And the bug bit, and we kind of always talked about one day when I was done playing football and retired and back home in the Northwest to dive into this wine thing and potentially make a wine one day. And here we are all these years later with Passing Time.
Wow.
That's really cool because, you know, you hear a lot of stories about folks, transitioning from one job to another, or one field of study to another. And to hear that, you know, you've, as kind of a American sports hero in a way, going over to wine and actually making great wine, it's kind of a pretty cool story.
It is a cool story, but, you know, if I'm being honest, one of our biggest challenges, especially that first year, was people taking this seriously, and is this some vanity project that, you know, a couple of former athletes slapping their name on a bottle of wine? I think that the product itself, I think, speaks that that's not what this is at all. You know, for one, you know, Dan Marino's name is not on the label anywhere. You know, obviously on our website, we talk a lot about our fun story and how we met and, you know, had this passion for wine and whatnot, but, you know, this really, truly is about the wine, really about Washington State, you know, where I come from. You know, one other cool little layer to the story is my great-grandparents were some of the first Concord grape growers in the state of Washington in the early 1900s.
Wow.
And my dad grew up over there in eastern Washington and played in these same Horse Heaven Hills that we're sourcing the fruit from. There's a Heward Road in Grandview right next to Dick Boucher's famous vineyard, one of the oldest vineyards in the state. So, you know, I have all these really cool ties. That's kind of another fun thing with the story, kind of getting back to my family's agricultural roots, and so it really is fun, and certainly I believe the Washington wine industry in so many ways is still in its infancy, and so to be a part of this thing as it continues to grow is a lot of fun for us.
Well, and obviously your contributions to the wine industry in Washington, I'm sure, have not gone unnoticed.
You know, yeah, everyone here has been great. I mean, I really truly believe it. You know, high tide rises all ships, and so many of these farmers and these other winemakers, Paul Shampoo, Shampoo Vineyard, played high school basketball against my dad. He's been incredible to me. Sadie Drury, who runs Seven Hills, a famous vineyard in Walla Walla, have been so good to me. And then a lot of these other winemakers, Chris Camarda from Andrew Will, Charlie Hoppus from Fidelitas, Paul and Alex Litson, Equalcita Creek, all these guys have certainly showed me the ropes over the years to help get us to this point with our wine.
Wow, it must be like a really tight-knit community, it sounds like.
It really is. Yeah, like I said, I think, you know, everybody's in it together in a lot of ways. Just, you know, we all love our wines here in Washington especially, but, you know, you go across the country and, you know, you're not going to see a lot of them. Every once in a while, you know, maybe our biggest producers, you see Chateau Saint-Michel and Columbia Crest, do great jobs. They produce lots and lots of wine at all kinds of different price points, but certainly the high-end, the boutique wineries that, you know, maybe making only a couple thousand cases a year, you don't see that. You don't see a lot of them across America, and we hope to make a difference with that.
Well, I think it's great what you're doing for Washington State wines. I think most people, especially in this part of the country where we're broadcasting from, you know, when they think of wine, they think of Napa Valley. They might think of some other regions, but those in the know realize that Washington State has some of the best cabs in the country, if not the world. And there are many people out there even prefer Washington State cabs to to Napa
absolutely,
cabs, and
absolutely.
So and the people you've teamed up with, like Quesada Creek and some others, they're really well known in the business for producing some of the best wines in the world. So it seems like you really were able to solicit the right help and the right people. How do you go about choosing, you know, who you're going to source from, which grapes you're going to use, production methods? I mean, is there a, you know, is there a game plan, so to speak, that you decided to set out on before you did this?
Sure. You know, great questions. Is there a roadmap, a game plan? You know, in all honesty, I just talked to as many people as I could. And everyone does it a little bit differently. But I will say this. I think, you know, the biggest thing that we have going for us was these relationships. And because of these relationships, we were able to, you know, source fruit from some of these older, established vineyards over in eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. You know, Washington is very different than the rest of the wine-growing world in so many ways, in that, you know, in Napa or the old world in France, Italy, it's kind of like, you know, you have your chateau, you have your vineyard right there next to you, you pick your grapes, you make your wine. Well, here in Washington, a lot of our vineyards are really out in the middle of nowhere in eastern Washington, and a lot of our wineries are over here on the western side of the state. There's a mountain range, if you think of Mount Rainier, Mount St. Helens, all that fun stuff that really divides the two states, and people are probably thinking of Washington State as this place where it rains all day and big trees and it's green and the Emerald City, but that mountain range really holds in all the rain on the west side. Eastern Washington is very dry and arid, where all of our grapes are grown. So a lot of the wineries are over here in western Washington. We source fruit from these different vineyards in eastern Washington, and a lot of these are 5, 6, you know, 4 hours away from here. So but because of that, we think our wines can be really interesting. You know, we source fruit from 8 different vineyards. We bring it all into our house, and then we make the most interesting wine. So, and all of these places, these different vineyards, they're so different. And, you know, at the end of the day right now, passing time in 2012 and 13, we just made one wine, a Cabernet from the Horse Heaven Hills. And with the 2014 vintage next spring, we're going to release 3 wines, all Cabernets from the 3 places in Washington that we think do it best: Walla Walla, Red Mountain, and always our flagship Horse Heaven Hills. And these wines, these Cabernets, same varietal, same vintage, so different, and we are really going to celebrate those differences.
Yeah, in fact, when I went to the Passing Time website, I saw that you were planning on doing this, and I was actually pretty shocked to read that each location would offer up a completely different flavor or palate, and that's exactly what you're saying now.
And that's what we're trying to do. I think, you know, there's so many great wineries out there, and we want people to think of Passing Time as the place to go taste Washington Cabernet. And like I said, from those three different places, and then celebrate those differences. You know, Walla Walla, you know, it's very famous vineyards from, or wineries from there. Leonetti, along with Colcedo Creek, probably the two most famous wineries in the state. Woodward Canyon also hails from Walla Walla. And Walla Walla is in one of the southeastern corners of the state. It's a little bit cooler than some of the other places we source the fruit from. The wines are a little more old world in style. I'm not going to say light, but definitely lighter on its feet from the other two places we're making wine from. Red Mountain is right in the smack dab middle. It's a southwest facing slope, and it's maybe one of the hottest spots in the state of Washington. It's beat up by the wind. The grapes really struggle with the environment they're in, and it makes them really interesting. You know, think of these big tannic, dark cherry flavors that come with Red Mountain wines, and we love that style too. And then the Horse Heaven Hills, I think, is kind of a combination of both. They're powerful, they're big, they certainly coat your palate on the mid palate, and a long finish, silky finish, this kind of cocoa powder flavors. But there's also this floral like elegance to them as well. So all three of them, like I said, so different. But we want people to think to appreciate those differences, because I always do when I taste these wines right next to each other, and the same varietal, just so different.
And you guys are bottling those this summer. Is that what I was hearing?
Yeah, we'll be bottling June 9th and June 22nd, so about a month from now. We'll be up to 1,500 cases. You know, our first two vintages, we only made 500 cases. We sold through them, and so we get up to 1,500 cases. Hopefully, we can make our way back east to you guys.
Now, and we're going to have to get our hands on some of that when it's ready, Damon. Now, I've got a question regarding how, you know, some NFL ties in with wine and the alcohol business, and I wanted to get your thoughts on some of this. So I read that last year, you know, we all know, you know, we watch the games, we watch the Super Bowl, and we know that Bud Light is kind of the beer of the NFL, so to speak.
That's what Peyton Manning said after he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we couldn't. I mean, I didn't want to go there, but yeah, exactly. I mean, that is the we all know it, right? And so, given that they just, I think they've renewed their sponsorship. I was reading through, it's something like the 2020 or 2022 Super Bowl. And you know, the value of these deals, you know, are staggering, hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe even more than a billion. And it makes sense, right? Because this sport has these ties to these beer producers and obviously beer drinkers. But where do you think the place for wine is in the landscape of American football?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, certainly it depends where you are. You know, I think in so many places, you know, the beer and then football and getting a hot dog, and it's 95 degrees out. I mean, that's fun stuff, right? But I think, you know, there's certain parts of the country that certainly, you know, appreciate wine. And I also think it's something, as players, as we age, you know, we can't drink beer like we used to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you really do appreciate the fine wine, and especially with food. I mean, that's where food and wine just are magical together, and so many good times with families and friends are around that dinner table and sharing a great bottle of wine. And so it definitely has its place, and it's found its way, I think, into a lot of the club levels and corporate suites and whatnot, where maybe there's some finer food served and whatnot. But it's certainly a part of my life, and I think as you get older, your palate, you know, really it just goes toward wine. At least, you know, mine has.
Sure, and for those of you who are just tuning in, we are listening to Damon Heward. He runs Passing Time Wine, and he's a former NFL football player, and
two-time Super Bowl champion.
And
Mark,
we're happy to have him on the phone. And I think to go on Joe, more of Joe's point, is that it's interesting that I find in this country that wine is seen a little bit more, it's seen differently than beer. That wine's,
well, we're trying to fix that, Mark.
Well, that's right. I think, well, wine is sort of seen like this sort of upper crust where people sit around and talk over.
And it does not have to be.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
not at all.
other countries, I think that, you know, maybe wine is seen maybe more pedestrian is maybe the back of a better word. Not that people who listen, who watch football are that are pedestrian, but to say that, that, you know, I think that wine sort of has a connotation of, I mean, if you sat in the stadium and drank your glass of wine with a hot dog, I think you would, people would look at you.
Oh, I don't know. And I mean, they do offer wine in a can now, Mark.
Yeah, that is true.
They do. I have seen that, which is interesting. And they also have it in a box. And, you know, and the other phenomenon, at least I've noticed out here in recent years, maybe it's global warming, but rosés have become really popular here in the Northwest. And so, yeah, and that's such a great summer sipper that, you know, you could enjoy at a ball game. And but yeah, I think it's such a seasonal and weather thing too. I know our big Cavs, they seem to find their way out of the cellars, you know, when the holidays roll around and Thanksgiving and kind of October, you know, it starts to cool off here. And but in the summertime, you know, the Sauv Blanc, the Rosé, you know, you can drink those at stadiums all summer long.
I'd like to see some of these very wines, you know, make it into some. I think the can format, Mark, is the way to go here. But you can't. It's difficult to walk around with a stemmed glass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're hanging out at a ball game.
Now when you do you as you've continued this venture, and I'm sure you're obviously in contact with your old buddies in the NFL. Have you made new converts into your wine or wine drinking in particular? Is it
sure.
Kind of showing people the way, so to speak? As Dan Marino kind of showed you the way, see the light, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I played 12 years in the National Football League, and everywhere I went after my time in Miami, you know, I was in New England for 3 and Kansas City for 5, and I had a cup of coffee with the Niners before it was all said and done. I was basically working for the Washington Wine Commission at that time, just selling Washington wines. I wasn't making a wine at that time, but I was, you know, I'd go to every, you know, to every store that would have it in Massachusetts. There were a couple little boutique places that carried some Leocole and some different Washington wines, Woodward Canyon, Andrew Will, and you know, I'd buy it, pour it, say, yeah, that's where I come from, I'm going to make a wine one day. And Kansas City, Total Wine was there, and so Costco was just kind of finding its way. Good wines were finding its way into Costco's, and so I was able to pour Washington wine wherever I stopped along the way, and very proud of the wines we're making from here.
So long range, what is your what's your outlook? I mean, is it something that you want to become another Robert Mondavi? Are you happy to be a smaller production place, or where? I mean, do you kind of see where your where Passing Time is going to be in 3 years?
Yeah, you know, I think we want to get up to kind of around 2,000 cases, so we'll be pretty small, you know, in the game, but we are sparing no expense to try to, you know, make another great Washington Cabernet, and you know, whether it's bringing in more fruit than we use, we bulk off a lot of it to get it right. You know, we spend a lot of time and effort in our barrel program. We use 80% new French oak with our wine, and then just the attention to detail in the cellar. When you stay small, I really think you can focus on quality. And I know our winemaker Chris Peterson and myself, we go through more blending trials. I couldn't imagine if we had any more wine, trying to find the right concoction to do it right. So staying small will allow us to make the best quality that we possibly can here in Washington State.
Well, thank you.
I love it.
Yes,
I love it.
That's great. And we're looking forward to trying your wine. We've been listening to Damon Heward, football star and
winemaker.
And they're making wine now with him and Dan Marino. And we're so thankful to have you on the show. And please, we'd love to have you back again.
Thank you, Damon. Very.
Some wine next time. I apologize.
Oh no!
About 2 weeks too late. And next year we're jumping up production, so we'll get you guys some wine. And love to join your show again.
Oh, we'd love to hear from
you. We look forward to it. Thank you, Damon.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.